Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host for the Daily Challenges, and today's Wednesday, day three of our first week of a new series called Pioneer Story. We're looking at the pioneer story of the church. No, not the building or institution, but how a community of people learning to follow Jesus came to exist on earth in the first place. We're getting that from the book of Acts. It's really the founding history of the pioneers who first gathered together as a community to follow Jesus after he died, rose again, and ascended from this earth. And that's the story we're looking at this week, is Jesus' ascension. The final instructions Jesus gave to his followers before leaving this earth and leaving a job for his followers to do. He gave them a commission. He sent them out to tell his story of his death and resurrection, his teachings, and the life that he offers us after death, to everyone on earth, starting with Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. And today we're going to look at those followers themselves and see a few important characteristics of that budding Christian community. The first thing I want us to notice is their unity. Our reading from the book of Acts yesterday had a long list of names at its ending. The names might not mean a lot to us, but there are some significant things to notice in that list. First of all, they are portrayed as one. There's a whole list of names, and there doesn't seem to be a lot of division in that group. There are no titles given other than descriptions of who people were and where they came from. But they're simply listed together as one group, as one family almost, as brothers and sisters. What is interesting is that those who were brothers by birth are separated in the list. It's almost like the person writing this list wanted to intentionally point out that there was a new family forming here, and that the old family ties were now less important within that new Christian family. They were all brothers and sisters now, not just those who'd been born into the same family. It's also important to notice names like Peter that appear in the list. It wasn't that long ago that Peter was denying that he even knew Jesus, and yet here he is listed as one of Jesus' followers after his death and resurrection. Here he is listed as one of the earliest leaders of the Christian church. Despite all that he's done wrong, that gives us a lot of hope that even if we have a checkered past, even if we have denied Jesus before, we can still be part of his new community that he's forming called the church. He still wants people like Peter to be involved. So people like Peter are on the list, and there were lots of others, all the other followers of Jesus at that time who abandoned him in one form or another. They're all part of the family once again. That pioneer story of Jesus' death and resurrection is what brought that group back together again. Even though they'd been scattered, they'd denied knowing Jesus, they'd been disappointed and discouraged and gone home, they'd come back together because of that story. And that story is what's meant to bring the church together today as well, to unite us. Now, are there any surprises in that list? Well, of course, Judas is missing. Judas certainly rebelled against Jesus and actually ended up taking his own life. So he's no longer listed as a member of that early church community. They need to replace him shortly, and that's one of the stories we're not going to read in our walk through the book of Acts, but if you're meeting together with a Bible study group, you might want to read it on your own. Finally, the other surprise we see is that Jesus' family is there. His mother, his brothers by blood, are listed as part of this early church community. It's clear from the biographies of Jesus, the Gospels, that they had their misgivings about him, that they didn't think Jesus could be taken seriously. They thought he needed some help because he thought he was God, the Son of God. And yet here they are now listed as his followers. All their doubts and misgivings seem to have been washed away by this pioneer story that brings together the whole family of Jesus as one new family together. They're all together now in one place. It's described as the upper room. And it's interesting that it's called the upper room because it makes us wonder if this was the same upper room where Jesus had gathered with his followers the night before he died and broke bread and drank wine with them in what we know now today as communion. We don't know if it is the same room or not, but it's useful to see that they are all staying together. They're all staying together in one place while they wait for the Holy Spirit. They have a purpose. They have a reason to gather. And that purpose is prayer. And prayer is the second important thing I want us to see in this story. They're gathered together in what's called constant or almost fervent prayer. This isn't just a casual, let's have a short prayer and move on. They've dedicated themselves to prayer. This is what they are doing. They have nothing else to do but pray. They're doing that together. They're spending time in prayer, relying on God for what's going to happen. The story of Jesus' followers gathering together as a church community wasn't going to be a story where you looked at some of those people and thought they were the pioneers, they were the important people, they were the ones who made it happen. It's clear that this story is God's story. Jesus is the pioneer, and the Holy Spirit is now going to help others follow behind him. The Holy Spirit is going to enable them to do the incredible things that happen in this story. And we're being set up in this story to give all the credit to the Holy Spirit, not to the individual human beings who the Holy Spirit happens to use. Prayer is the way we see that, that they are going to rely on God for everything, and they are asking him to do that from the get-go. This can be really easy for us to forget as followers of Jesus today, that everything we try to do and organize and become, as we try to become a church community, needs to depend on God and God alone. So please devote yourself to prayer for this church community. If you plan to be a part of it, or you think it's a good thing that should happen, please be praying for it. Fervently, dedicate yourself to prayer like those in this story, please. Well, these disciples who are now gathered together as one family, they're devoted to prayer, but it's all in preparation for something, because they have a mission. They're going to be on mission. They are united in prayer, sent out on a mission. This mission is something they're driven out to do. As they're all just staring up at the sky, these angels appear next to them and say, "Why are you looking up there? Why are you looking towards where Jesus was? He's not there anymore. He's in your hearts. He's sending his Holy Spirit. Now you have a job to do. You tell people what you saw here, what you experienced here. You tell people about Jesus, not just here, not just a little ways from here, Jerusalem, Judea, but in Samaria, with people who are unlike you, and then even to the ends of the earth, the people who are least like you in this world. I want you to go there. I'm sending you out. I'm driving you out. As much as you want to stay and have and soak in this holy experience, you've got a job to do. Get out there on your mission." So this prayer, this time of prayer, is in preparation for their being driven out on a mission. Well, finally, this mission that they're sent out on is to tell a common story, the story of Jesus. It's changed the lives of each of the people listed in this story. Just look at somebody like James, the brother of Jesus. Here's somebody who had his doubts and misgivings about Jesus, and yet we see him now as a leader in the church, in Jesus' group of followers. What happened to change him? What was an encounter with the risen Jesus that drove him out on mission, that showed him he had a great story that transformed his life and would transform other lives, and it was a story that just had to be told. The ascension is a really important part of that story because it means that we human beings have a role to play. Jesus has done his work here on earth, and now he's ascended to heaven. Now, just because this story says he went up into the clouds doesn't mean that heaven is literally and physically in the clouds, that we float around in heaven someday with Jesus, with wings and Philadelphia cream cheese and that kind of thing. But it's clear that from this story, Jesus certainly was taken away from the disciples. He rose up into the clouds. He was no longer physically present with them on earth. That was the bottom line. That's what the disciples needed to know. That this job they had to do was now theirs. Jesus had given them a mission. He would return someday. There'd be a progress report. Until then, they had a job. Until he descended again in the same way. Again, that doesn't mean he's going to slowly come down from the clouds. But until he returns physically to this earth, from that spiritual realm of heaven where God's presence is eternally, until that state comes to earth, where God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven, until that day, followers of Jesus have a story to tell. They need to be united, united in prayer, preparing for a common mission, telling a common story. It all comes together in the ascension as they're given their commission and sent out to do that, and told they'll be on their own without Jesus' physical presence, but they will have his spiritual presence in the Holy Spirit entering their hearts and their lives to guide them, comfort them, keep them safe, and give them the confidence to to go out on this mission, dangerous as it's going to be. Imagine the anticipation these disciples would have had, knowing the amazing privilege they had to be part of God's story, and the anticipation they would have in waiting and anticipating the Holy Spirit coming to them. What was this going to be like? This had never happened before. Imagine the excitement that would have been in that room as they knew they were about to be launched out on a mission. Imagine the astronauts in a space shuttle waiting for liftoff, the anticipation that would fill their hearts. That's what the disciples were experiencing. And that's what I want you and your small group to be experiencing too, as we imagine what your small group and all the other small groups meeting, discussing what it means to follow Jesus as part of Redeem the Commute today. Imagine the anticipation, the excitement, as we come together as one community, as one church. Well, here's your question to think about as a group. Consider your group. Do you tend to focus more on unity or on prayer or on the mission or on the story? If you've not started a group yet, who can you start sharing these challenges with in the pattern set by these pioneers of unity, prayer, mission, and story? We'll have a great discussion. I'll see you tomorrow.